In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Fitness, fellowship, and faith. The fact that you could put those things together and not have Donald Trump by the third paragraph is kind of a miracle, a small miracle of journalism in this day and age.
They just simply get angry and they'll shut anybody out of their lives who keeps being that voice of conscience to them, because that's what they're trying to silence. They can't silence their own conscience, so they're going to try to silence yours.
He forgave sin, and the people at that time said, "Who can forgive sin but God only?" And Jesus didn't say, "Oops, sorry, I didn't really mean that." Jesus accepted that.
So we need to be hopeful, knowing that our hope is laid up in Christ, and knowing that that is the motive for our actions. It doesn't mean that we think naively we're going to survive this, but that's not the point. The point is for us to be faithful.
Greek professors in Wisconsin listen to Issues Etc. while teaching verb paradigms. Paidoio, paidoies, paidoie, paidoiomen, paidoiete, paidoisi.
Sometimes people raise this question in a purely philosophical way. They're not really experiencing any suffering or any overt evil. They just have questions, philosophical questions. If God is all powerful and he is good, then why does he allow such monstrous evil to take place in the earth? Maybe he isn't all powerful. Maybe he isn't good. Or maybe he isn't even God. And sometimes that same question comes from people who really are struggling with the problem of evil, with suffering in their lives. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's part four of our series on Christian apologetics, defending Christian truth claims. Today, we'll talk about the problem of evil with Dr. Nancy Almodovar. A little bit later, Ross Douthat, columnist for the New York Times, joins us to reflect on Vatican II. Dr. Nancy Almodovar is professor of world religions and apologetics at Park University, and she's author of several books, including Nothing Else Matters, They Were Eyewitnesses, and Creedal Apologetics. Nancy, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again.
Nancy, has there ever been a time in your life when you asked, how could a loving God allow this to happen to me?
Absolutely. I did my PhD thesis on the problem of evil. I chose to do it because my husband had just been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and because of his radiation, I found out I had lupus, and the painful flare-ups were intense. And so I was asking the questions, as a believer, why does this happen? I couldn't even imagine a non-Christian trying to figure out why there's suffering and tragedy and death and sickness and all of this. For me, it was a personal question, and I was seeking the answer through the whole Calvinist theological spectrum. And I titled my thesis, oddly enough, Faith Seeking Unspeakable Consolation. The problem was, that is when my own panic attacks, because of the Reformed theological answer to this question, began to kick in. And then when I became a Lutheran, I realized I had to revisit this entire topic.
Let's start with kind of the classic question, which in some ways is a very active question apart from Christianity considerations. What is the Epicurean question?
It's actually a series of questions and kind of truncated answer. So it goes like this. Is God willing to prevent evil, but he's not able? Then God is not omnipotent. Is he able, but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then where does this evil come from? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why do we call him God? That's the Epicurean question. That's the problem of evil and the questions that are asked.
So the explanation you sought earlier was in a theodicy. What is a theodicy, generally speaking?
A theodicy is simply a human answer to this question. It's trying to formulate a way to respond to these questions. You can have a philosophical theodicy. It actually means to basically put God on trial. So God becomes the defendant, and we humans are the judge over him. And in various theodicies, people are trying to answer this question, and it's putting the judge of the universe, God, our creator, on trial, and man, the creature, is the one trying him. So it's really trying to figure this out for ourselves, but also us becoming God's judge. And that is never a good position.
What was, at the time, your explanation in a Reformed theodicy, and why did you find no consolation in it?
Well, in my research, I came across Theodore Beza's Catechism. And basically in there, he says that all of this evil that we see, this sin, sickness, death, tragedy, storms, all of this is basically for the final end of God's counsel, which is neither for the salvation of the elect, and I'm quoting, nor the damnation of the reprobate. It's the setting forth of his own glory. So it's this concept that everything we go through, kind of a fatalism, is simply for God's glory. Has nothing really to do with us, even though it has everything to do with us, but it's for God's glory. And so because it's not focusing on God's love, it focuses on his absolute sovereignty, the whole premise becomes, it's just for God's glory. It's not about the love of God. It's not about his care for his creation. It's his sovereignty. It's his kingship, if you have. So in other words, it came down to God uses evil and sin for his own glory. I could not be consoled with a husband going through radiation and surgery for prostate cancer, me in major pain from lupus. None of that teaching from the Calvinist viewpoint consoled me, because all their theology is based on other topics, such as they have double predestination. So am I being put through these tests, this sickness, these trials, what have you, because I'm his child? Or is this just my end as a reprobated person? There was no comfort, which is really kind of odd since my thesis title was looking for true comfort and consolation. In that system, there is none. The reprobate are created for damnation and judgment, and then the elect are created for heaven. But that's not the focus. The focus is it's all about God's glory. One odd quote during that time that I heard was someone say that even if God sent them to hell, they would still praise God. And I thought to myself, kind of going through hell with all these trials and suffering, sickness and all of this here on earth, how do I know then that this is for my good, as Romans 8 says, for the believer? There's no way to tell. So even though I answered the question from the Calvinistic view, personally, it set my spiritual life basically starting to do the circle around the drain, if you could picture that.
So it not only failed to offer you any consolation, it came close to robbing you of faith, this notion that God just acts solely out of a desire to glorify himself, and we're really just pawns to that end.
Pawns is the perfect word. We were just pieces on the celestial chess table, and God was doing things for his glory, and it didn't take in the love of God, and that was what was missing. And so there's no comfort in just knowing God as a judge. You need to know him as your loving father too. And that's not in the Reformed answer to this problem.
What other false explanations do Christians often offer for suffering?
Well, one of the first, Bobby was, my husband was home because of the radiation, so he was pretty drained. So I went to church, and my pastor at the time, Dutch Reform, said to me, coming up to the car, "Oh, Nancy, there must be some serious sin in your life that you guys are going through this." And I looked at him and I said, "If I want that response, I can go back to Pentecostal church because that's what they're going to tell me. There is some sin in your life whereby all these trials and tribulations are happening to you." So that's one of the things that some Christians who don't really know the Bible will tell you. Second, I was then told by another friend, Christian friend, maybe you need to do more daily devotions. You need to be praying more. Oh my goodness, I was praying up a storm. My husband had cancer. I don't know what they were thinking at that point. And then the third is the Calvinistic staunch, strict response, which is, well, you know, God's chosen some to eternal life and others to eternal damnation, and it's all been predestinated, the good, the bad, the ugly. So you just kind of have to go with it. This led me to despair.
How do other world religions answer the problem of evil?
Most other religions take, well, pretty much every other religion, I should say, takes the fatalistic view. Popular today is using the Hindu term karma. What you put in, you get out. The old computer phrase, garbage in, garbage out. So you put in some good stuff, you get good stuff. That's karma. You put in bad stuff, you get out bad stuff. That's karma. Islam has a very fatalistic view as well. Whatever God has ordained is going to happen. The idea is that life is hard. It comes at you fast. This stoic, defeatist, very harsh view that you just kind of got to put your head down and plow through it no matter what, because this is just going to happen to you. They respond with a benign resignation. Death, suffering, trials, tribulations, tragedy are very real and everyone knows it. But if they're outside of Christ, they don't know the comfort that they can have. So they take this fatalistic view.
Dr. Nancy Almodovar is our guest. She has authored several books, including Nothing Else Matters, They Were Eyewitnesses, and Creedal Apologetics. It's our series with her on Christian apologetics. We're talking about the problem of evil. What does Scripture teach us about evil, its origins, and God's purpose in allowing it?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther on in 2 Thessalonians with the man of lawlessness, wicked deception, stand firm, pray for us, and idleness. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
sophisticated Lutheran apologetics. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Mark Lutheran Church in Waco, Texas is proud to support Issues Etc. Join us for worship and Bible study. If you're in Waco for business, college, traveling through the city, looking for a great place to retire, or searching for a church to receive Jesus' love and forgiveness, then visit St. Mark, a century-old, Christ-centered Lutheran congregation in the heart of Waco, very near the silos. The Lord Jesus Christ be with you always. Visit us at stmarkwaco.com.
Psalm 144:1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Those serving in the armed forces want LCMS chaplains. We need courageous pastors to bring the gospel and sacraments to those protecting our nation, along with wise counsel and the peace found only in Christ Jesus. If you are between the age of 26 and 43 and have a heart for ministry in the armed forces, call 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the problem of evil in our series on Christian apologetics. Our guest is Christian apologist Dr. Nancy Almodovar. Folks, Concordia Publishing House's fall warehouse sale ends midnight central tonight. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. at cph.org or by calling 1-800-325-3040. Nancy, what does Scripture teach us about evil, its origins, and how God uses and permits it?
So I'm going to use my husband Bobby's very theological term at this point. He calls it a nunya. And if you're from New York or the Bronx, where we were initially, nunya is simply none of your business. God is silent on this. And where God is silent, we should be too. God does not tell us everything. He does let us know sin, sickness, tragedy, suffering, death came in at the fall of Adam, and it affects everything and everyone going forward. But God does not give us a theodicy. What he does give us is the answer for us as a church, as individuals, to be comforted with. And that answer is the cross. It is Christ himself. So all of this sin, death, sickness, and everything, the scripture teaches Adam fell. Okay. Sin went to everyone, and the effects of sin spread everywhere. Romans 8 even talks about creation groaning until the consummation of God's children. So sin has ripple affected everything in the world. And so we have death, we have suffering, we have tragedies, we have cruel rulers, we have storms, we have all of that negative stuff is because of Adam and Eve's sin. And because we are their children, however many generations away we are now, we are still carrying that original sin. And so we are affected by it and infected by it. We are the problem. If you really want to look at what's the problem of evil, it's fallen humanity.
What was 16th century reformer Martin Luther's approach to the problem of evil?
Martin Luther struggled with what he termed Anfechtung. And it's later on, he wrote a series, I think it's 7 or 8 sermons on this. And it's his struggle with sin, death, suffering, pain. But when Luther went to the scripture, that's what I love about Lutheranism. We go to the Bible. God may not give us everything, but he gives us what we need in the scriptures. So Luther went to scripture, not to find what he termed as the hiddenness of God, the areas we know God exists, but he hasn't told us about. And he wanted to find comfort. Where did Luther land? The cross. He's considered the theologian of the cross. He went to the cross. Why? Because it's looking at the cross that we see God, who came down as a baby, became human, suffered, was ridiculed, was lied to, was deceived even by his own friend, Judas, and then betrayed, and then hung on a cross and suffered and died for us. That's where Luther looked. You want to know the answer to the problem of evil? It is no better than looking to the cross, where God himself suffered from the greatest of evil. He conquered it. He conquered sin, death, and the devil. And so Luther looked to the cross for comfort, not necessarily for an answer as to why, but an answer as to what did God do for me because of this problem of sin and evil and pain and death. And it was the cross that Luther went to, and it's the cross that believers need to go to when they're going through this stuff.
You have developed kind of a systematic way of responding to those who pose the problem of evil today. What is it?
My system. First, I tell them, well, we need to look and we need to see. We are human. They are human. They're coming to us usually not for some theoretical talk, not for some philosophy of man. They're actually coming because they want to know, what is the problem of evil? If God is good, why is this evil around? So we have to approach them human to human. We all suffer. We all have these effects of the problem of evil. And so we go to them and we say, okay, what are you really looking for? Are you asking why your father died suddenly? Are you asking why you have cancer? Find out where they are coming from first. And then you can take them to the cross. Jesus himself knows suffering. Isaiah said he was the suffering servant, right? Jesus died, so he knows all about death. And he knows sickness. He healed so many people. So when the person is coming to you, you need to find out where they're actually coming from. Why this question at this time? Once you have their answer, then you can take them to the ministry of Christ in Scripture, whether it's betrayal, whether it's lies against them, whether it's rejection by friends or family. Jesus suffered all of that. We bring them to Christ. We show them Christ. We show them God who came down to sin-filled earth to live with sinners who did worse to him than they probably did to the person you're talking to. And yet he satisfied our biggest problem at the cross. And it's always going back to the cross. But if we don't hear and listen to them as to why they're really coming up with this question, we're never really going to answer it for them. It'll stay theoretical. It'll stay man's wisdom. So we always have to bring them back to Jesus Christ, God the Son, who lived and died here and rose again, which cleared the problem, which was the problem of evil in us.
So atheists and skeptics generally think they have an open and closed case against the existence of God in particular. When they pose the problem of evil, they just say the God that you believe in, whatever may be the case, does not exist. And the proof is he seems powerless to stop or prevent evil in the world. How would you briefly respond?
Well, a dear friend once asked me this. They're an agnostic. And I said to them, where did you get your moral ethics from? You can't have evil unless you know what is good. Otherwise, it's just generic, that's how we live, that's how we roll kind of thing. So when an agnostic or an atheist comes at me with this type of question, I have to ask them, where did you get your moral code from? Because there has to be an ultimate good to exist in order for you to even approach the topic of evil or to even say evil exists. Now, we know evil exists. All we have to do is look at the 20th century alone, all the world wars and everything, and the cruelty that man did to man. So we know evil exists. So how do you know that that's evil? You can't unless there is an ultimate authority on what is good. And that is God. He is good. He is gracious. The fact that we rebelled against him has created the mess that the world is in, the sin condition that everyone is in. But I don't try to argue philosophically with them. I simply ask them, where did you get your category of good and evil if there's no God? How do you even know what evil is apart from an ultimate good?
Dr. Nancy Almodovar is professor of world religions and apologetics at Park University, author of several books, including Nothing Else Matters, They Were Eyewitnesses, and Creedal Apologetics. You can purchase these books and find out more about Dr. Almodovar's trip to Pakistan on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Nancy, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me again.
We will be reflecting on Vatican II, the shadow it has cast on several papacies and on Roman Catholics, with Ross Douthat, a columnist for the New York Times, next.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Is there a difference between what different Christian denominations teach? Or is Lutheran, for example, just the flavor of Christianity that you prefer to put in your religious ice cream cone? Is there more to what we believe, teach, and confess? Well, the October issue of the Lutheran Witness took up this very question. What is the difference between Lutheranism and other Christian denominations? To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois; Emmanuel Lutheran, Green River, Wyoming; Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee; Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Brookings, South Dakota; Peace Lutheran, Hastings, Nebraska; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Snohomish, Washington; St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas; St. Timothy Lutheran, Huber Heights, Ohio; and Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.